Hey folks, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record to and from my job as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. This week, we're talking about two epic heroes from, I guess, television and film from the 80s and 90s and today, even before, I guess, if you kind of go back with one of them. But before I get into those epic heroes and the stories of the similarities and the differences between them, very quickly, I want to let you know how these podcasts work. Each week, the podcast is about 10 to 11 minutes of conversation while I am driving here in bumper-to-bumper DC traffic. And I apologize in the background for any honks or horns or any sort of blinkers or shouting you might hear. But I use this 10 to 11 minutes sort of podcast as a brain dump so I can put ideas out to the internet, because my job puts me in all sorts of different conferences and classrooms all over the country. So I have a chance to see and learn from really, really smart people. So I want to take what I'm learning from those people and put it back out to the world so we can share ideas and figure out how to get better together. Think of these as the first part of a conversation, and this is my formal invitation to welcome you to join it. So this is my thoughts for about 10 minutes. I would love to hear your thoughts about how you're using this in your classroom or ways that it's making it work. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching, because I really like teaching. So today, let's get epic. The story of James Bond versus MacGyver. I don't know if you have a favorite in that matchup, and I do apologize in advance if you are not a particular fan of James Bond and or MacGyver, but very quickly, the 30-second version of this, I promise there's a point to this story. James Bond, if you've never seen him, he's a super spy. He's a star of movies, franchises for years and years and years and years, dating all the way back to Sean Connery and the earliest depictions of James Bond on film. He actually takes his origins from Ian Fleming's novel that tells the story of this guy who's like the super spy of international intrigue. He gets the girls, he has the cool gadgets, he has the cool suits, he travels all over the world, and he's a blockbuster phenomenon for generations. Everyone has their favorite Bond movie, or everyone has their Bond that they came of age with, because he's been played on TV or in the movies by, you know, a dozen or so different actors. But that's James Bond. If you haven't seen him, I recommend it. It's good. Start with GoldenEye with Pierce Brosnan. That's my favorite. But anyways, the other side of the coin, we have MacGyver. Now, if you don't know John MacGyver, originally played by Richard Dean Anderson, I guess in the 1980s, it was a television show. It's been rebooted, it's been reworked, it now I think is on maybe CBS. And it tells the story of this relatively humble, guy. The tagline for the show is, "His mind is the ultimate weapon." MacGyver is an inventor, a tinker. He has an aversion to guns. He had, a traumatic incident in the origin stories of the original character, where something bad happened with a gun. A friend was shot or killed, so he doesn't ever use them. But he still helps to solve mysteries, to fight crime, to find his way out of these desperate situations with terrorists, with hijackers, with bombers, if you name it, MacGyver always finds himself in those situations. It feels like he's the most unlucky guy in the world, or the most fortunate. He's a lot more like Indiana Jones, always outnumbered, always outgunned, always really overpowered by the forces of evil that surround him. But he has this uncanny ability to rely on his surroundings and to find his way out of situations just by piecing together different small items that he can find in a space to defuse bombs, to escape like poisonous gas, to make these dramatic last-second rescues of damsels and friends in distress. MacGyver is just like a blue-collar kind of guy, very, very different than James Bond. But this is super important to understand the difference between these two characters before we get into it. So I want to talk about these two characters as they relate to education, with this idea of James Bond teaching and what I call MacGyver teaching. You may have heard it framed in some education circles as the difference between, quote, just-in-case teaching, which is very James Bond-esque, and, quote, just-in-time teaching, which is very MacGyver-esque, and I want to talk about the differences between those two. So, to James Bond, sharp-dressed, super spy. Here's every James Bond movie ever. The first 3 minutes, something explodes or there's a hijack or a heist, something crazy happens, and we see these explosions and these high-speed, high-stakes chases where our hero is introduced in dramatic fashion. He parachutes out of a, you know, an exploding plane. He finds himself on a pair of, like, alpine skis racing down against a bad guy as they're blasting away at each other, taking speedboats through the French Riviera, chasing a guy who has the clue or the information that a rival government or spy might want to take from the British government. And then the credits roll, ba-da-ba-da, and you have this dramatic music by a pop star that tells you the sort of backstory of the James Bond narrative while they roll the credits. And we then find ourselves back at headquarters where our hero, licking his wounds from the battle that just had happened, now finds himself getting a stern talking to from his chief of command, whose name is M, and then walking through a room of gadgets, usually presented by a character named Q. M tells them, these are the rules of the game, and here's how we have to follow them. Here's the briefing, here's the dossier. But you're entering the war zone, James. This is very highly classified, very, very dangerous mission. So talk to Q, and Q will get you all of the tools you'll need to make your way through this espionage. Then his great cool scenes. Q walks you through all the different things, whether it's a laser watch, you know, in case of emergency, you push this button and you have the ability to turn this watch into a laser, or this thing that looks like a regular pen, but it actually has like knockout gas inside of it. All these cool spy gadgets. And James makes some, you know, pithy British type quip about it, and we sort of smile about it, and he's armed with these things in secret, carries them off to the races as they go. In fact, the movie Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, did a great spoof on this, because the guy who walks Austin Powers through the tools and toys of the gadgets that he'll be using in his adventures, his name is Basil Exposition, and I think that's great as a screenwriting trick, his initial B, Exposition, right? This is an exposition of the B plot. It's not the main plot of the story, but this is an exposition, a basic exposition of, here's the type of thing that's going to come up down the line. Sure enough, if James Bond finds himself with a watch that can magically turn into a laser, you can bet dollars to donuts by the end of this story, he's going to find himself captured. And what do you know? Just in case he ever was captured, that laser watch will save his life. And I think that James Bond-style teaching is exactly that. It's, hey guys, let's sit down and take a look at all of the things that could possibly ever be asked of you about this topic. You think about a traditional Scantron-style exam, or maybe a traditional SAT-type question, or an AP-style test. And it really is, let's cram all the information into your brain that we possibly can about all the ways that this thing could or might present on a standard assessment or a challenge, a test. Because you never know. I remember when I took my AP US History class in high school, the very first question was about All in the Family. And I was really upset because we did not cover All in the Family because we were too busy covering Vietnam and like things that were, in my mind, really important in American history. And I was so PO'd that this first question was about a TV show and a TV series that, by comparison, was not nearly as important as like World War II. But that just-in-case teaching, teacher failed to arm me with that laser watch to get me out of the All of the Family question, and what do you know, just in case, that one detonated on me and I didn't get the question right. At least I don't think I did. Flip that on its head and look at the MacGyver-style teaching, MacGyver-style instruction. MacGyver's mind is the ultimate weapon, and he's just really good at identifying items in his surroundings to help diffuse situations and make these thrilling last-minute escapes. So, for MacGyver, he might find himself like in a shopping grocery store because he has the flu. And suddenly, as he's in the grocery store with the flu, a bunch of terrorists or bank robbers raid the place and start blowing up guns. And MacGyver's in a panic, like he just need to get some Theraflu, right? So he looks around the aisle of the pharmacy and he sees like, okay, well they have a rubber water bottle and then they have chemical X and chemical Y. And then he sees like a paper clip or a rubber band and he's like, oh, hold on a second. I can make myself like a nerve gas bomb. And the craziest, silliest, stupidest thing rooted in like pragmatic science, sure enough, MacGyver finds his way out of that situation by, you know, unleashing this homemade nerve gas on these would-be bank robbers or these store robbers. And even when he has the flu, MacGyver's able to save the day. Training himself to make use of things as small as like a paper clip that he sees out of place, or a pen, or hold on, let's take that pen apart because inside that pen there's a spring. Thinking like an inventor does, MacGyver sizes up every environment he's in and looks at ways that he could take that environment apart or elements in that environment to solve the problems. This is what I call just-in-time teaching, where as a student is finding him or herself stuck or struggling, they lean on their mind and they say, hang on a second, I know stuff about this stuff. I can take this stuff apart. And I bet, hold on, well, I see that. That looks out of place. Wait a minute, there's a comma here. There wasn't a comma there before. Hold on, that number looks a little weird. Let me go back to that. And then you as the educator, simply stepping in and guiding them to, that's interesting, what else do you know? Ultimately, though there is incredible value in the James Bond, it does sort of give away the end of the story, where MacGyver really is able to lean in on his skills and trust himself. And maybe if you see which side I land on this coin, I'm all about MacGyver teaching. So that's a thought for this week. Thank you for listening. I'd love to hear your thoughts about MacGyver and James Bond and how you use these ideas in your classroom. Again, it's just the start of a conversation. Would love to hear more from you. Thanks again, and we'll be back next week.